So we started into verse 20 last Sunday morning, and we just kind of set the context for the next paragraph. And so we'll pick it back up there at 20. And so if somebody, though, would be willing to give us that whole paragraph, 20 through 33, would be great.
Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the end of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge? Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make my words known to you. Because I have called and you refuse to listen, I have stretched out my hand and no one has heeded. Because you have ignored all my counsel and would have none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own device. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster.
So we had that contextual conversation that this paragraph is different than what we've read so far. In the verses up to this point, who was speaking? Up to this point.
Solomon to his son.
Yeah. Okay, so it's Solomon pulling these ideas together, and he's trying to pass them on to that next generation. In these verses, who's speaking?
Wisdom.
Wisdom personified.
Personified.
Yeah. So it's wisdom personified. So it's Solomon writing it, but yet he's writing it from a first-person perspective of being wisdom itself. All right? And so he's kind of really doing a little whoa. And he's kind of saying, you know, as wisdom would speak to me, this is what I think wisdom would say. Wisdom is kind of beckoning and saying, okay, I'm out here for you. You know, if you want me, come on, I'm right here. You would be pretty smart to come, you know, get to know me, get to understand me, but it's ultimately up to you. And so that's kind of what's happening in this paragraph. So when we did the verse 20, one of the things that I brought out was we have the she. What do we need to understand about that?
Well, it's not literal.
Yeah, it's not literal.
Third person female, is that what you're trying to get at?
Yes. Yeah, why do we have wisdom being referenced as she?
Didn't you liken it to a guy calling a car?
Yeah. You know, it's something that we do when it's an inanimate object that doesn't have gender. We typically, like a boat or a ship or a car, we typically refer to them as she. That's just kind of part of the English language. Sean?
I was going to say it's a feminine noun in like an Arabic and like Semitic languages. Instead of saying it or like the way you refer it, you would say he or she. That too as well. Same thing.
The background music is not just like for me today. That's coming from the sanctuary. That's the little people practicing. So we're getting it out of the speaker when we don't normally do that. Gene?
I have to wonder if there's something, lack of a better term, sexual. The reason I say that, when we get into chapters 7, 8, 9, there is a seduction of the foolish, the woman personified as foolishness, as folly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a seduction there.
Mm-hmm.
And that is compared and contrasted with a seduction of wisdom. Wisdom is attractive, but we often follow the other woman, mm-hmm. right? And so this is an early reference to wisdom as she. But later on, they're going to be compared and contrasted because it is an attraction for a man. It's being compared to that. So I'm wondering if there's something to that. That
I could say for consistency that he's using that, but with any personification, it's typically from the female perspective. But as he will, as we're going to get into it, he's speaking to his son, per se, and so that's why he goes feminine.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely dig at that. But for consistency, I could see the link here. Somebody else? Good.
Well, I'm also seeing Christ in this because in 1 Corinthians, 1:30, Christ is called the wisdom of God. And so it's there's this shadow right here in the Old Testament of Christ speaking, right? Why would they have none of me? You know, I'm here, I'm crying out, come, and yet they refuse me. So.
Good. Somebody else. Good stuff.
I've also wondered that because Proverbs often says that like wisdom was there with God when he made the foundation of the earth, and so I've often wondered if it's referring really to Christ.
I would not say that it's like a direct link within the Trinity on that, but I think that there could be a linkage as Nate was bringing up, just the picturing of, but I don't think that that is the pre-incarnate being referenced specifically. So when I say pre-incarnate, what's that big word meaning?
Jesus before he came to earth.
Okay, so Jesus before he came to earth, all right? Because God the Son has always existed, all right? So typically in the Old Testament, when we see the pre-incarnate Jesus, what title do we have?
Angel of the Lord.
Angel of the Lord.
Melchizedek.
Yeah, you know, typically that.
Melchizedek.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah, but not, yeah. Let's not go down that road today. That's a good one.
No, it's usually a theophany, right? That's yes. What it's,
yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and let's just walk through. Again, remember, this is kind of wisdom itself speaking. And so as you're getting the understanding and the application, you know, bring us from that. So somebody read us 21.
At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks.
So, what is wisdom doing here? What's the picture?
Making herself available.
Hollering. He's hollering.
Yeah. I mean, you know, definitely making herself available, definitely loud, getting the attention, you know.
Involving yourself in daily life.
Yeah. It's just ongoing. You know, wisdom from God is always available. Brian.
Prominent position.
Yeah.
The city gates.
So again,
obvious.
You know, the say it.
It's obvious.
Yeah, the wisdom of God is there for us to gather, for us to engage. But yet, God's just not going to slap us with wisdom and force us on that. It's got to be something that we engage, we grow in. Anything more on 21?
I also think, though, that there is, because it's in the city, and the cities are busy, right? So there's competing noise, right? So there is the noise of the city, and then there is wisdom crying out at the same time. And so now there is this competition going on, and so the person would have to try to filter out that which is not wisdom versus that which is true wisdom.
And is that not everyday life even in 2023?
Yeah.
But it's a conscious decision to filter it out. Like, if you're given no context and you have the noise of this, you know, in this instance, the noise of the city square and wisdom calling out, without making a conscious effort to go after wisdom, you may not even see it.
Yeah.
Because it gets, you know, drowned out by all the other things that are going on in the square.
And as you were saying that, I even think about where we talk about in Ephesians, we talked about the mystery of the gospel. And that the gospel is readily available, but yet you have to seek it out. And so that's that part there. Good.
That's one thing I was taken away, that it's being offered freely in the city without cost to everyone.
It's there. Somebody read us 22.
How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge.
So, how's wisdom referring to everybody? not everybody, but
simple.
Okay, is that a positive title or name?
No.
No, it does not seem to be.
Mine says foolish.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Inexperienced.
Yeah. All right. So, what's negative about being simple? Because there are positive aspects about being simple, but I don't think that Solomon's bringing those out here. So what are the negative aspects of being simple or foolish?
I think in this example, she's using like, hey, you just kind of just follow, go with the flow, go with what everybody else is doing. Instead of, like somebody mentioned earlier, hey, seeking me out, right, and learning wisdom, right? You're just going to do what's, just go with the flow.
Okay. So simple if you just go with the flow.
Yeah, it'll work out in the end. Like, okay. Whatever is after death, it'll be okay.
Okay, all right. What
so
else?
Is it more not talking about mental capacity, but more about character?
I definitely don't think that it's talking about people that are less educated, less knowledgeable.
So no, it's more about your character, your honesty, and your integrity, stuff
yes.
like that.
Yep. Choices that you make.
Your
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good on that.
My Bible has an alternate word. It's important. It says naive as opposed to simple. Yep. It's a simple but naive.
Okay. Yep.
People with no discretion.
Okay. When you mean no discretion, what are we defining? What's the picture of no discretion?
You blindly make choices. You just, there's no thought that goes into that as to the outcome.
Yep. So again, no thought, no processing, no working through things. Back to Mike's going with the flow. The path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. That's the path I'm going to go.
But it says that they love and they delight in it, right? So it's not something that they don't want. They actually like it. So when wisdom does come, wisdom is not as lovable or delighting, you know, as the folly is, I guess.
So
because it points out that they're wrong.
Say, Arlene.
It points out that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. The wisdom does.
Oh
they
yes.
They like being told they're wrong.
Yeah.
Conviction. They don't like conviction.
Yeah.
They don't have conviction. Because if I love it, then I don't, then to me, this is right.
Yeah.
Right? The simple, right? There's nothing about wisdom to the simple that looks beautiful or that I think it's right. I think that what I'm doing or the thing that I'm delighting in is the thing that's right.
It's like people that are happily ignorant about basic things when Google's
available.
Yeah. But I find interesting.
Nice.
In Strong's, it says open minded as well. And as I read it and the love, and I think about it now, like where it's like, who are you? What do you identify as nowadays? And it's a real contrast to wisdom. Like they seem like they're wise because they're so open-minded and they're willing to accept anything. But the reality is it's not. They're accepting foolishness.
So let's flip it. Let's go where Sean was kind of taking us there. So then what would be the opposite of what wisdom is describing as simple? So what should we be experiencing? Who should we be? Because we shouldn't be these simple-minded people.
We should be discerning.
Discerning in what way?
Doing the right.
What is
doing
discern-
the right thing. Like,
okay.
Choosing the right path.
Okay. All right. Well, discerning is a big word, so I always want to make sure that, you know, people are understanding. Discerning what is right. Okay, good. Somebody else was over here. Gene?
Which noise to listen to.
Okay, all right. What to listen to, what not to listen to, and actually processing through that instead of just, you know.
The fact that it's up on the hill, it means they're purposely ignoring it, like he said. So even though maybe they think it's the right thing to do, they choose to do what they think is more fun right now.
So then what should we be doing then? What's the opposite of that?
Listening, opening your ears.
Okay, all right. So the immediate gratification is kind of what I was thinking as she was talking right there. That so often we're just looking for what's the best thing for today. Mm. All right, what's going to bring me the most happiness today? What's the opposite of that?
Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification. Big words on that. Thinking long term. And so that's where, for us, long-term is eternity. But then it's also for everybody else. You know, that we're that influence, once we have godly wisdom, have that relationship, it's our eternity, but it's helping others. Adrian?
Oh, my home just said.
Oh, okay.
It's not home. It's not home.
You're waiting so patiently right there. I'm just like, she's got a good thought. And so I was just like, I was going to.
Well, since you asked.
Yeah.
Core is delighting.
Uh-huh.
And being simple. I feel like it, when I'm in the Word, I'm delighting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to continue on to search the Scriptures and to keep my heart and my mind stable in Jesus.
Yeah, that's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And what you painted the picture.
Yes, I see.
Because God's word is the source of that wisdom. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
So that, I feel like that's why I love the word. The Lord said, she. Mm-hmm. The way I was raised, there's more women in the church, and there are more praying women. So and to me, God is letting you gentlemen, you know, a lot of them that don't serve and come and be content in it. But he's letting you know the wisdom and the power of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because that woman is the one that keeps, even though the man is here in the household, but the woman keeps together. And the women really do pray stronger and harder than men. So that's why in the church.
So
I think that's why I'm saying that he's letting the world know that the wisdom, a lot of wisdom do come from women.
We'll have to agree and also agree to disagree a little there. So I'm totally with you. But I'm totally with you. Over the last 50 years within American churches, men have backed up and backed out.
Yeah.
And it's been great for ladies to step forward and step up in that. I don't think that that's the biblical positioning that he prefers and created, but yet that is a fact that within culture, many times women are much more inclined to be connected with God, reading his word, and being prayer warriors. Right? That part, I agree, it's fact.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
It's off the track. I went to Honduras just beginning, and Cosmo, and up to the islands. And we went to this church, and it's this one big church there, all nationalities or whatever they want. You know, they have to take turns and go into church there. Mm-hmm. Because you pray to God and you just, you know, the ribbon they give you to put on it, what you want God to do for you, your families, and others. And to look at them, we think that they are poor, but that was their way of life. And that's how they serve God. And one of the people I was with asked a question about the church service, and that's when they came up with. On a Sunday, it may take one group go in there for 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
and different neighborhoods and stuff go to the church. And I was like, wow, you didn't think these people believed in God. They believed so humble.
Mm-hmm.
And worshiping God and stuff and loving God. And that was so amazing.
It's a great example of, even though we have different theologies, we can still partner together with to the extent of what we do agree on.
Yes.
And so that's where we can disagree with different denominations, but yet we need to capitalize on what we do agree on and support each other, you know, in that. Again, we can be firm in our faith, but yet it doesn't mean we can't help other people on that. But then back to the, I don't think that we need to be worshiping women as far as, I don't think we need to be worshiping men. I think we should be looking at each other and challenging everybody to be growing in Christ-likeness. And so that's the part I would just disagree a little bit with. I don't think he's putting that into this passage. But the last 50 years, we can't deny that men have taken a step back from being the leaders that they're called out to be, that we're called out to be.
Yep.
Okay. So finishing up, how long will scoffers delight in their scoffing and fools hate knowledge? All right. So what is this scoffing that is going on?
Scoffing at God.
Okay. What is scoffing of God?
A mockery.
A mockery? Okay. Somebody else? What's the scoffing that's going on?
It's right in their own mind.
Say it, Tim.
I said, what's right in their own mind?
Okay.
Like
John?
Being a rivalry.
Okay. There is a rivalry again, that competition.
I was going to say, like Nate brought up, they enjoy
not having it so much that they're kind of like, you guys are dumb for like actually study the button, getting into, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We're over here having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, come join us.
Yep. So again, within this passage right here, you've got two options. Okay? You can be the simple-minded people or the not-so-simple-minded people. Now notice, he's equating, if you're of the simple-mindedness, then you are scoffing. Okay? So he's just giving a new title to the same group. And so that's where we have to contemplate and understand when we're being more simple-minded, the days where we're not processing through God's Word, reading it, praying through it, those are days where we're being simple-minded and we're scoffing at God. Now, we might not be audibly scoffing at God, but yet when we don't pick up His Word and don't give it that search, that diligence, looking for the wisdom that's in it, then we're doing the opposite. Now, we've talked about it before. Here's where we've created this third area in the middle that's like not one side or the other, but I'm okay in the middle. That doesn't exist. You're either simple-minded or you're not simple-minded. You're either scoffing or you're not a scoffer. And so you're either ungodly or you're godly. Todd?
I was just going to say, it's kind of a similar idea of Psalm 1.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Love the song. Okay? Let's just flip there real quick. We got 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Yeah, Psalm 1.
Just have it, sorry.
Go to the middle of the book and turn left a little bit. Okay, Todd, you got us there. Give us a read.
From the, I think I'm in the NIV, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, or scoffers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is to destruction.
Great connection, Ranger. Thanks, Todd. So as we're reading through that and thinking through that and realizing this is our last Sunday school class of the year, 2024, you get the New Year's, it's always good to make those resolutions, try to get those new patterns on that. I would just challenge you to pray through. Don't wait until the first to try to read God's Word regularly. You know, try to start getting into that habit. But yet, the New Year is always a great time to get a new focus, get a new approach, a new Bible reading plan, or however it's going to help you. I might pull some stuff together and shoot an email out with some different options on that over the next couple of weeks here. But I think this is just a good place to stop for the fall, for our break here for Christmas, with God's Word and, you know, thinking through, do we want to have God's wisdom and live it out? Or are we going to scoff? And we're going to say, yeah, God, your Word is here. You're offering it to us, but I really don't need it. And really just think through how we do that daily. Because it's easy to say, I'm a believer and I love God's Word. Hey, if that's for me, just, I'll call him back. But it's easy for us as a believer to say, oh, I stand on God's Word. And, you know, I hate when they took it out of school. And, I, you know, you can do all this. But if you're not in it daily yourself,
right,
you're at the same place.
Right.
So, you know, that's, you know, we got to get in God's Word. If we want His wisdom, it's in His Word. And so multiple people brought that up today. And so thank you for all of that. Let me close this up with a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you that you brought us through another year here as a class. And I ask that you would help each of us really be just dedicated and delighting in your Word, to gain your wisdom, to learn about you, to have a stronger relationship with you, and then to live it out and glorify you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Anybody that's willing, let's go down to the multi-purpose room and let's unload those tables and chairs real quick.
Yeah.